Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I wanted to talk about the narrow gate, the narrow door, because I think many in the last days are going to think they're in when they're actually out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important to know. It's important to know. I mean, I've been at many people's deathbeds, and that's not a time when you want to know. It's not a time when you want to kind of figure this out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was reading in Luke 13, 22. It says, then Jesus went through the towns and villages and teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Mm-hmm. Interesting question. He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And this is Jesus' words. Mm. He said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when I think about that, I think about that, you know, there is a time to get ready. Mm-hmm. There is a time. And my concern is that, you know, there are many that are hanging around the cross as if hanging around the cross is enough. There's a huge difference in hanging around the cross and getting on the cross. And we're confusing religion with relationship.
Right.
And it, listen, this is, I mean, this is so important. Wouldn't you want to know? If this is not for you, then skip it. But if it's a you, you know, take it on in, but also share it with someone else. I mean, think about it.
Right.
We have such look at where we're at in this nation, where, I mean, you see everyone from entertainers to rappers to all sorts of folks wearing crosses around their neck and thanking God at the Grammys for the song that they sung that violated all the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you, God did not help you with that song.
Mm-mm.
No, they're not helping with that song. They're mixing biblical themes in worldly music. And it's just like, look, we got to get a clear understanding. There's many people that think that they're in, but they're actually out. Mm-hmm. And hanging around the cross is not the same as getting on the cross. But there is a time to get ready. I mean, he says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because there's going to become a time where you're not going to be able to.
Right.
And when I think about that, I think about in Noah's days, just like in the days of Noah. I mean, Noah's sharing, he's prophesying, he's telling rain is coming, danger is coming. We've been sharing it. Listen, things are about to happen on the face of this earth and coming to America. You've got to be prepared. Not just physically and mentally and financially, but listen, most importantly, you got to be prepared spiritually. Mm-hmm. How can you stand in the days to come if you're not in the right place with God? How can you have your sea legs if you're not even standing on the Word of God and having a relationship with Him?
Right.
With only 19% of the church, according to George Barna, actually abiding and spending time with the Lord and reading their Bible, and only 3% thinking that they're actually responsible for their own spiritual development, we got a serious condition here.
Absolutely.
So there's a time and there's a period not only for us to get into the door, but there's also a time and a period that we can get others in the door, that we can bring them into the house, the place of God. You hear me on this?
Right.
And but when Noah shut the door, they were banging,
mm-hmm.
they were screaming, clawing their nails in the door, and the door couldn't be opened.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Jesus says, make every effort. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow, narrow is the way.
Right.
And few find it, right?
That's right.
And there's no such thing as having a virtual relationship with Jesus. You know, one that gives the appearance, but not really in reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't want to hang around the cross. You don't want to be in a place where you're going through the motions and you're singing the songs and you're talking all the Christian lingo, if you will, but you don't have a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liking a scripture on Facebook is not enough.
No.
It's not enough. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, which really just powerful, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 5, that tells us that you can't have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I mean, it looks like God, you know, mm-hmm. it's feasible. It looks like God, but is it God? We're talking about, it's not enough just to hang around the cross, but we got to get on the cross. We can't fool ourselves to have a virtual relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a voyeuristic experience.
Right.
And I'm afraid that many in the church today, Matthew West has a song that says, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go just one more day without your all consumer power living inside of me. It's like, they're going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through the motions.
Right.
And you don't have to go through the motions. I mean, having a relationship with the Lord can be so authentic and so fresh and so intimate and so amazing that you can come back to that place of intimacy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Timothy tells us, he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its powers thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all this sin, all this stuff, and yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus is coming out of the same mouth that's you know, curses and everything else. Listen, we got to come back. We can't conform to the world. We can't be like the world. God's called us to be a separate people, mm-hmm. a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation,
right.
separated unto himself. And I love what the psalmist writes, you know, David. I mean, I love his heart, but he had such a heart for God and a passion for God that was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. We can come back to the place of yearning.
That's right.
And crying out for God. But we can't alone conform to the world. I mean, there's a stark change.
Right.
You know, there's this Proverbs 27:10 says that he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry even what is bitter tastes sweet. And it could be that we have so much stuff of the world on our plate.
Right.
It's being real, you know, that there's just not a place for God anymore. God is just right next to the peas and right next to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to start repenting and turning back to God and scraping these things off that sin that so easily entangles. And even if it's not sin, but just the noise, if you will, the stuff that's just crowded your plate, where there's not even a place for God on that plate. He that is full loathes honey. Mm-hmm. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Mm-hmm. When you're hungry for God, when he's the only one that matters, when he's your first thought when you get up, when he's your last thought when you go to bed, when you're living throughout the day, you're meditating and thinking about his word. You know, it's God's word that I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, Lord. When he becomes your first passion and your sole obsession, let me tell you something. It's about a love relationship. It's about a love relationship. And you know what? If you've been in religion for a long time and you haven't been told that, you don't know. You just don't know. I remember when I came to God and I'm thinking, wait a second. I was upset. I'm like, Are you telling me all this time I've been hearing, teaching, and preaching, are you telling me that this is about relationship? I mean, like, where was this Jesus? Where what happened here? Who turned on the lights?
Right.
And we want to flicker the lights on here for you. We want to say, hey. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. It's about a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's about walking with him. It's about an intimacy where you can begin. You have open access to God, mm-hmm. that you can abide in. And John 10 says, tells us that my sheep hear my voice. You can hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole world of possibilities. But it's not going to be in doing the religious works. It's not going to be in the traditions of men. It's not going to be going through the motions, as Matthew West so writes in his song.
Right.
But it's going to be with a relationship. You know, I think about all these wonderful worship songs that we sing, and sometimes the Holy Spirit just kind of brings them up. But I think about that song, you know, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Where it's all about you. Yeah. It's all about, what have we made it? You know, what have we made it? You know, and I'm telling you, you can cry out to God and say, God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship where I don't care. Everything's got to go. I've got to have God. I've got to touch God. I've got to reach out to you. I've got to touch the hem of your garment. We need you in our home. We need you in our country. We need you in our marriage. We need you in our family. We need you in our city. We need you, God.
Yeah.
Forgive us for the things that we made it. It's not a club. It's not a group where we can hang out. It's not. We need a heart after you, a heart after God. I want to encourage you. Let me tell you something. God's waiting on you.
Right.
He's waiting on you. I'll never forget one time I heard someone say, and it just so resonated in my heart, you can have as much of God as you want. Mm-hmm. The question is, how much do you want?
That's right.
You can have as much God as you. There's no limit. Mm-hmm. The floodgates are open. But I found that when you set that quiet time, when you close everything out and find you that set place, maybe that set chair,
mm-hmm. yeah,
at a set time.
That's right.
Slow everything down, quiet yourself, and meditate on him. Be sincere and just talk to God. Allow yourself to be vulnerable and just really go there with the Lord, because he desires it. He desires to commune with you. And in that place of openness and vulnerability, in that place of abiding in his word, your relationship with God is just going to increase. Your heart's going to begin to melt. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the key ingredients. I believe our hearts have been so hard-hearted by the cares of this world, by sin, mm-hmm. because the callous heart, you know, there's no sensitivity anymore. With things that you used to do were sinful, you'd be convicted just at the very, and now it's just like, it's just normal. Mm-hmm. We want to be sensitive. We want to be tender. We want to have a soft heart that we can, at the whisper of God, we can turn back. So I want to encourage you, listen, it's not about hanging around the cross. Don't settle for religion. It's an original intent. You know, don't settle for, you know, oh, I can never go back to, I remember when I first got saved and I was on fire and it's just, you know, no. You can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? Come, go explore with God. Run after God. Come back to a heart of worship.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious-free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this. The author of The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us, but they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
When I was a new believer, and if I would have had, you know, all of you guys talking and hearing what we're talking about on VFN Radio, I would have been so encouraged. You know, I was like, oh, somebody loves him too, you know? Because it's amazing when you get born again in a religious environment today, because America's so religious, mm-hmm. you have this person that's like, I'm so in love with God, I'm so in love with God. And then they hang around people who said they're in love with God, but they're actually fell in love with the world and left the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dangerous moment where that person begins to say, well, I guess maybe I'm just too excited. Maybe, you know, somebody goes, he'll calm down. You know, he'll get lukewarm like us. Like, well, thank you, mentor. I appreciate that. Or you can listen to VFN.
Zealous there.
Yeah, you can listen to VFN Radio and say, listen, there are many people in love with God, and that the book of Acts is not a myth or a history book. It's actually what we're supposed to be seeing and doing in the church. The Bible is our pattern. It's our plumb line. And it's exciting. It's exciting Jesus is alive. He is Lord of the harvest. And he said to pray to him, to ask him to send out workers. And we're talking to you. Maybe, you know, maybe you are, God has called you to be a part. And if you are a believer, you're called to go into the harvest field. Timing is important. Being discipled is important. Being rightly related is important. So you survive and end up in the kingdom that you preach. And maybe VFN, Vine Fellowship Network's for you, you know, or Vine Fellowship Network University, where you can get all connected, get discipled, and get launched into your destiny so that the day that you do stand before the throne of God, no witnesses, no suspects, that the same expectations God has for an Oral Roberts, that he has for a Billy Graham, that he has for a Steve Hill, he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
He has for you, but whatever talents, whatever measure of what he's given you, he's gonna say, what did you do with it? And maybe God's given you a talent that you can do, if you're going to measure by numbers, that you could do 10, you know, but you're only doing 5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you do with the other 5? But maybe you're somebody that's been given talents, and there's plenty of these folks that you've been given 1,000. You can do 1,000. But, you know, you're doing 10 or doing 100, but you're doing 900 on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. God, you're taking all that talent and everything. You're just building up wealth for yourself and hoarding things and buying bigger things. And listen, a day's going to come. You're going to stand right by the guy who actually had 10 talents and he invested 10 talents and he received back an interest. Something came from what he did for God as a gift for God. And you're going to stand right next to him. And you would have invested, you know, 100, if you're doing numbers, of your talents, but kept 900 for yourself to be able to feed into your own flesh and things that you want. And you're going to think because you did 100 that God's going to see you greater than the guy who did 10, but you don't understand. That's all he had was, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All he had was 10. He maxed out. He did 100%. God's into percentages, not amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to realize this. He's going to say, listen, you know, you wicked and lazy. I'm just quoting Jesus here. Listen, I'm not quoting doctrine. I mean, I'm about, you know, men's doctrines. I'm talking about the word of God. Jesus says, then the master will come back and he'll look at you and he'll say, you wicked and lazy servant.
Mm-hmm.
Take what you do have and give it to the one who doesn't have. And so you got to take all that 1,000 mm-hmm. and give it to that one who had 10. But the one who did that had the 5 and invested it and got 10 back and he had 10, you know, the Lord looks at him and says, the master looks at him and says, well done. Mm-hmm. And that blows somebody else away. He says, listen, I have mansions that I live in, cars that are my, and I spent them all on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my house is bigger. Aren't I more valuable?
Mm-hmm.
Ask Lazarus. Right?
That's right.
And so understand that, you know, what are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? And we're, you know, talking to you to encourage you that first begin to get a vision that, hey, you can do something for God. You know, the same Jesus that's in the next believer is in you. The same Bible that this man preaches out of, if it is the Holy Bible, is the same Bible that you can preach out of and teach out of. You just need to get related with the people who believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need somebody who believes God and it's not right. Having to go, you want ones that signs are following them, that they're not following signs. It's like, mm-hmm. Why do I need to be with you if you're following signs? I need to find somewhere where the signs follow them, right? Right? I mean, it's, you know, these signs follow those who believe.
Right.
And Jesus works with us confirming those signs. And it's just pretty cool. There's all over the world, there's people who love God and who are following God like that. You know, I think about, you know, Steve and I were talking last night, I believe it was, in Pittsburgh, you know, and God's just really blessing him there. He got just really blessed. And he was bringing this out, how the Lord just laid this on his heart, and he was sharing it with me, and it just barely bears witness. And it's so timely, because when you start to do something for God, you got to be real careful that all of a sudden you're saying you're doing it for God, but you can find out how you're reacting to what's happening if you really are doing it for yourself. You know, and I think about it, you know, and Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians, and he was talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There was division happening in with believers, because they begin to measure success. They begin to define it, you know. They begin to say, you know, look what I'm doing, or look what he's doing, and because he looks like he's doing more, therefore he's more valuable, and this one looks like he's not doing, and all of a sudden there's this big, you know, value based off of what was going on. And so this is how Paul responds to it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 9, he says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ." This is what he's about to talk about then, is a very worldly view, and it's like a babe in Christ. It's just it's a immature argument. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I mean, think about it. Some people say, well, yeah, I've been a believer for 5 years, and it's like, but you still have the nipple in your mouth.
That's right.
You got to move up. You got to move up. And the way that meat is when you begin to do what God says and you practice the word of God in your life, you practice and you become, you know, Hebrews 6 talks about that. And he says, you're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? And the thing about it is, if you have an insecure man who feels less than because he has less money in his wallet, he has a smaller house, he has fewer people that he's ministering to, or his family's not as big as someone else's family, understand this, that's a pride thing. Mm-hmm. And when he does get the thing that he thinks he needs, that same pride will be there, and now he'll think of himself more valuable than he is.
That's right. Mm.
If you have somebody that feels insecure, saying they see somebody else that's singing, you know, and they're worshiping God, and they're with their voice, and somebody says, "Oh, you know, I want that. I want to be able to do that." Well, you have to understand, there some people want it because they want the glory and they want to be value. They see value in that for themselves. Mm-hmm. And some people just begin to worship God where they're at, like David did in the wilderness. It's a big difference. You know, a lot of people, it's huge. And so pride and worldliness and infancy in Christ, is there's an argument going on. He says, are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another one says, I follow Apollos, are they not mere men? You know, and some mere men don't understand they're mere men. Cool. And you talk to them, it's like, oh my goodness, we were talking to somebody who doesn't understand they're a mere man.
Right.
We got to be real careful because we could really hurt their pride right now. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That fruit. Anyway, so and then Paul goes in and says, what after all is Apollos? Because they're like, some people are going, I was in such and such. I go to this gathering over here, and this is my pastor there. And they're talking like, what? You know, and he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? He's talking about himself. Only servants. That's who we all are. Through whom one came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each of us a task. We are not what we do. That's called hoodoo. And you've probably heard that again and again on VFN Radio, and you will continually hear it because we have to get, God wants some hear doers, people to hear and do, but we're not hoodoo all of a sudden because we are doing this, all of a sudden we're greater than somebody. That's who we are. And he said, you know, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And that's so important. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he that waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So who makes things grow?
God.
Right. Now, if you get into making things grow, that's called manipulation, and it's not God's kingdom that's being built. That's your kingdom that's being built. That's how you can build monstrosities with a whole bunch of people who don't even know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, there have been somebody in my place that didn't know, you know, they were with us 6 months. They didn't even know we were the church.
Right.
And it's like, you openly said that?
And they didn't know God.
And didn't know God. Months. It's like, you think you'd get it close. Anyway. So the man who plants, he goes on to say, and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are all God's fellow workers. We are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field in God's building. So we're just all in this thing together. Once you become a believer, you are a son and daughter of God. You are in the family of God. And there's mothers and fathers in the Lord and all that, but we're all family. We're just family.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And nobody's any greater than the other person. And the seed, you have to understand that the seed is the word of God. What you understand when you hear about the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it plain in Luke 8:11. He says, listen, that the meaning of this parable is the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God. And the field, he says, we are the field. It's the hearts of men. That's the soil that it gets planted in. And since God's word is the seed, he tells us in Isaiah 55:10-11, that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth, the mouth, and it will return. And it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do. Mm-hmm. So God is the one. It's God's seed. It's not our seed. It's God's truth. It's the gospel. The good news is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if he be lifted up and we tell people about him being lifted up, then he draws men under. It's him. But we plant that seed. We tell people about it. It's his seed. It's not our seed. And we plant it, and another man comes and prays and believes God, and it gets watered, and in that, but God, and that seed's going to accomplish what it's set out to do. You can't say you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't say it's God's going to cause that thing to grow, but it's no matter what, it's going to bring every man to accountability before the throne of God and say, what decision did you make with the seed that was laid upon your heart, the word of God, when you heard the word of God? And it's going to accomplish what? That every man had a chance. Every man had a chance. The gospel will be preached. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all. In other words, seed will hit every soil out there, every man's heart, and the end will come. So division happens in the church because men assume that one man was actually seeing things grow around him or her, that they were more valuable. And they begin to measure themselves by saying, well, I have fewer and they have more, and they start measuring things off the abundance of things, and God doesn't do that. When the reality is the success in God is when you sow the seed, when you go out and begin to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, you begin to love on them, you begin to pray for them, and you plant the seed. You can't make it grow. You can hope for it to grow. You can pray for it to grow, mm-hmm. but you cannot make it grow. It's only God that causes it to grow. And when it does grow, it grows maybe in your ministry, in your workplace, wherever it is, but that's God causing it to grow. You're not any greater because all of a sudden that person responded to the gospel. God's greater.
That's right.
You're just a fellow worker, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clock in like me, man. We're going to all go to heaven together.
Come on.
You know, if Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this and heaven's like this, is that it doesn't matter when you come in and when you start working in the field, you're going to get paid the very same thing. Because we're all the same. And so you think about it. To understand the parable of the sower, then, it helps you understand what the argument was going on and how to begin to define things, how things happen, and what is the key then to growth. Well, he says it, Matthew 13:1-9, the parable of the sower. Jesus says, it reads, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came, and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered, because they had no roots. Other seed fell amongst thorns and grew up and was choked out by, the plants were choked out by these thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. Say that, say good soil.
Good soil. Good soil.
Fell on good soil where it produced, it grew. It produced a crop of 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, Jesus said, let him hear. And then he began to say, in verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower really means. And this is important because we all need to be in the harvest fields. All this jealousy and this contention and this pride and the self-exaltation and measuring and all that stuff, it's got to stop. Knock that. We got to knock it off. We're all workers in the same field. We're all going to get the same reward. We're all going to get, it's not about that. We've already won.
That's right.
We've already won. We need to tell others about Jesus. It's time. In 2013, I believe it's going to be the year of a great harvest. But he says, let me tell you what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears this message, right, the word going out, somebody's mouth, when they hear this message about the kingdom of God and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, the word that was sown in their heart. He says, this is the seed that was along the path. So what happened? Well, you were obedient. You went out and you told somebody about Jesus, maybe at a gas station or a coffee shop, and they're excited about it. They didn't really understand it. By the time they got in their car and drove off, Satan comes and steals that away from them because they didn't understand it. Are you less valuable or more valuable? Because that has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself. This is a God thing. This is God. You know, you are not the master. God's the master. And this is going to empower you to be a worker.
That's right.
You know, we are believing that men and women of God are going to rise up and begin to tell people the good news and give them a chance and begin to send the seed out. Then he goes in verse 20, says, and the one who received the seed that fell in the rocky places, the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. What did he do? He received it with joy. I mean, he's pumped. Woo! I mean, he's like happy and everything. He says, but since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. Let me tell you something. That's Jesus saying that. What happened is that he received it, he believed it, and then he lost it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus. Get over it. He said it. He's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
What happened? He wasn't discipled. He didn't get any roots.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but since he had no roots, he lasted only a short time. When trouble and persecution came because of the word, he quickly fell away. Listen, to be able to fight lies, you got to know the truth. And if only 19% of the church is in the word of God, you know, you can't say, well, I just, you know, that, you know, if you are set up with the truth of God and you have an ability to train people in the word of God, disciple them, I mean, you're set up, you know, it's up to them what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not any less valuable or more valuable. You should be brokenhearted if somebody gets choked up because they refuse to be discipled.
Yeah.
They just looked at the cares of life and defined themselves by that instead of listening to what God said about them. And he said that the one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it and making it unfruitful. I mean, that's America right now. We're being choked out by money. It's just money, money, money. So everybody's thinking about the money cliff. That's what fiscal means, the money cliff.
Right.
Mm. We're going over the money cliff. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Going over the money. That's what fiscal means, by the way. We're going over the money cliff.
Wow.
And the church is being choked out by it. I mean, we're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer. Come on, yeah. My goodness. So anyway, we're just trying to get this figured out here. But the one, Jesus said, who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He hears it. He hears it. He understands it. He produces a crop that yields 130 and 60-fold. So you see, this is it. This is it. You're just supposed to tell people about Jesus. Quit not telling them because you're predicting how they're going to respond, and you're defining yourself by whether they say yes or no to God. To say, listen, it has nothing to do with you. You just tell them about God. Stop not telling them. Don't let the enemy stop your mouth from moving. Break the lockjaw. My goodness, church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be telling every day people about the word of God, but the lies of the enemies locked your mind and locked your feet and locked you down, the deceitfulness of riches and all these things choking it out and saying, you need to get out there and quit defining success by anything other than you're a fellow worker. You're a fellow worker and understand that the condition of that soil, the condition of that man's heart will determine whether God's going to cause it to grow or not. That man's got to believe first. He's got to believe first. And not only does he have to believe, but he's got to get roots down and fruit up. Because you can believe in hard times and hot times come. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a genuine encounter with God. But yes, they're back in the world again. They've left God.
Yeah. You can't judge your ministry efforts by the harvest you reap, but only by the seeds you sown. You know, the harvest belongs to the Lord. So it's like you can't, the harvest has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what God's going to do.
But the harvest means you can't make it grow. You just can't make it grow. I mean, you want, and when what happens is when people start measuring that way, start doing things to create numbers, you know.
An appearance of growth.
It's an appearance of growth.
Right.
But it's, you know, it could be poor, naked, blind, and dead. And that's how you can be in a place for 6 months and not know it's the church, because very well, a lot of it might not be.
Exactly.
And so understanding that, that, you know, we got to, this is how the army is going to be launched. I realize that we're all called in the army of God. You know, we're all called to go out and to love people. And so the seed is you telling people the word of God. It comes out of our mouths and it's going to accomplish, may not accomplish, it'd be like Joseph, you know, they may carry our bones out. We might not see the harvest, but you know what? In eternity, I'm going to see all this seed and everybody I told about God. It's, they're going to be brought to the throne room of God. And some will say, he'll say, enter in. Well done, that good and faithful servant. And you'll be able to meet that person because what you shared in their heart, they believed and they received and it was part of it. But the other people that God will remind them of the encounter that you had with them at the gas station that said, listen, you know, that Pat came to you and he told you about me and he told you about the way to me and you turned away. You said no to it. You said no to me. But it will accomplish, that's what it set out to do. People say, well, you know, it's just automatically going to be a great harvest. Well, there's going to be a harvest period. You know, everything's going to be harvested, you know, good and bad. And we're all going to be brought like sheep and goats before God. And every one of us would have heard the gospel. And we're going to have to answer. We would have had the seed thrown our way and landed on our heart. What did we do with it? Did we believe? Was it good? Did we have a good heart? And we say, yes, we want that. And we receive it. And when you get past this, you realize, you know what? That I need to start telling people about Jesus. I need to start telling people about Jesus. You know, and at first, if you're having a struggle with it, tell them about VFN Radio. We'll help you. We'll partner with you. That's what we're doing. And telling them about your own personal testimony, and realize that if they can believe and receive it, but not getting the roots, in other words, don't get discipled, then you need to have a strategy, There needs to be a strategy, because remember, the good soul is the one that not only received, believed, understood, but produced. So you need to have a strategy for a productive life. And we're going to make this all available for you on the VFN Torch. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life. Understanding this. We have a teaching on it. We have a, even a little simple little piece of paper that you fill this out, it'll show you how to have a strategy to be fruitful in your life. Not just to say, hey, I said a prayer somewhere, but you look more like the devil than the devil does, and how you're living your life, that you're supposed to be different and look different and realize if Jesus said this person believed but quickly fell away. I mean, read the word of God. Just read it. Forget what people are telling. Just read what God says. And it convicts you to realize, hey, it's not as flippant as people say. I've got to make a commitment to God. I got to give him my life. It's not some sort of supernatural sentence that I got to say or some paragraph that I say to God. And so we're going to have available for you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and you're going to be able to have the teaching there. You're going to be able to have, of course, what I'm talking to you about now. And you're even going to have a simple form that you can fill out online and print it off. It's called Strategy for a Productive Life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good.
Oh, bless her.
I got like a hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got
a scar. I'm just saying. What's that? Right. Right. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh. Lord, I repent. I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent. Right. Come on, say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go. Come on.
I know, right?
You can't even think.
I'm smart and intelligent.
And beautiful. The audience is shouting, he's beautiful too. He's beautiful too.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're beginning to share some things with you, and I'm going to talk to you about it's time for us to be that man and woman of faith talked about in the book of Hebrews, where we are the ones who just believe God. Yes, we believe that he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him and that obey him, that just go after and advance it by faith. By faith. And the key element about these individuals, it's called like the Faith Hall of Fame when you read Hebrews chapter 11 and just all the wonderful men and women that we're supposed to imitate that has gone before us, that they didn't look back. There weren't ones that would look back and just go, oh, well, you know, I think it was Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. He says, listen, if they would have looked back, they would have went back. Mm. And I think reunions are cool. I think they're cool. Class reunions possibly and all those different things. But it's like, do you have any vision for forward? Is there anything in your life that you're actually doing? Or are you actually living off what you did?
Are we still talking about high school?
Yeah, we're still. Yes,
really?
Yes. 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 Okay, we won't go there.
Okay.
And and the church, believers, the ones that God commends are the ones who just heard his voice and they launched out and they began to do what God had laid on their heart, go into a place that God was going to show them when they got there. And they went by faith, but they didn't look back. They didn't. It's like we're never going to do anything forward if we keep on talking about the past. And, you know, well, I had this job and I left this job for God and now I got this job. It's like, hey, you're bringing this up for a reason. Is there a reason? It's like, you think about the disciples. When the disciples, when Jesus is walking along all by himself at this point with the Father, that he looks and he sees Andrew and Peter and he says, come follow me. And they drop their nets. They just drop them. Mm-hmm. They drop their business and they just say, listen, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to follow you. And they went with him. Mm-hmm. What happens if they wouldn't have dropped their nets? He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He was going to take what they already knew and he was going to make them use that to be able to go and be evangelistic and win people into the kingdom of God, to fill heaven with men and women, sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And they just let the nets go. And you don't hear all this, you know, throughout their ministries, like, yeah, I was working with my dad Zebedee and I was making good money on them nets. It's like, if you bring that net job up one more time, it's like, you're not going to do anything. Listen, faith is about looking forward, not talking and bragging about what you left behind and what was going on. It's like, if you keep doing that, you're not going to have, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to happen in your life, in your ministry. You know, without vision, people perish. They cast off restraint. But this is a day and age that we're going to have to set our hands to the plow. And this is what Jesus says. He says, a man that sets his hand to the plow and he does look back is not even worthy of the kingdom of God. And it's got like First Church of the Left Back. I mean, there's like, look, First Church of the Left. Oh, that's what's going to happen, though. If you look back, you're going to be left back. But it's right. The First Church of the look back. It's like, come on. We're going to have to see. Is there not a cause for us to say, you know, we're going to believe God and we're going to step out? And yeah, there's a journey. I never really seen God deliver anybody from something, but I definitely seen God deliver people through something. So you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through the fires. You're going to go through things, and God's going to deliver you. But listen, you're doing it for God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And so when God calls Saul, which later became Paul, and he's riding on his horse to go to Damascus to kill some Christians or imprison them or beat them or just treat them harshly, when God called him that day, that was the deciding factor. He didn't say, well, let me first, and I've got to go back and, you know, cut a deal with the Pharisees that I'm, you know, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I gotta go back and talk to them. I'm a mama. I gotta talk to my mama. You know, my mama. I gotta talk to my mama. And it's like, come on. You know, even when Jesus looked at the one man, he says, Jesus is walking down a road, mind you. Go figure. Mm-hmm. Not a limousine. He's walking down the road. Not in Nikes with sandals. God, Emmanuel. Walking down the road, and a man says, hey, he says, I'm going to follow you. And he begins to follow him. Another man says, you know, I'm going to follow you, but, you know, I'm going to go tell my parents goodbye. Mm. And he's like, what? What? And that's when the next guy goes, you know, but first let me. And he says, a man who says he's going to follow me, who begins to follow me, but looks back, is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, you know, there's nothing. I remember, I don't have time probably to talk about it now, but I remember going to a picnic with a church gathering. And in this particular picnic, there was a man and a woman who were husband and wife who were fighting. And there was, you know, several of us all over the this ground out in this area where we're picnicking in the public park. And there the parking lot was far, far away from where we were at, but we heard that there's this woman getting a gun, going to shoot her husband because whatever. Mm. And something about ketchup on the sandwich, I don't know what it was. And I had these huge guys beside me. They were huge guys. And because we're playing volleyball, massacre volleyball. And I said, well, let's go. You know, I was a police officer at that time. And so I'm going to the parking lot. I'm just focused. We're going to go to the parking lot. I'm not convincing you I'm going to go to the parking lot. I said, I'm going to go to the parking lot. We're going to go to the parking lot. And they had these two huge dudes. I'm not going to tell you their names because you might be listening. And they're coming alongside of me. And as I'm focusing, obviously, where the gun, the woman, and all that kind of stuff, I look, and these dudes are gone. They're gone. What happened? They begin to think. Mm-hmm. They begin to look back and consider things. Mm-hmm. And they weren't willing to pay the price because the price could have been we might lose our lives out here. Mm-hmm. And imagine that. How many people are just their entire ministries based on, you know, looking back, talking how it was, and there's no forward movement. You don't want to hear nothing. You don't want anybody to tell you nothing about the future. All you want to do is talk about what you had and what you left and what's going on. It's like, listen, Jesus said this. He says, if you put your hands to the plow, which means you make good intentions, and he says, follow me, and you do. And he says, you drop your nets, and you do. And then you say, well, I'm going to look back. This is what Hebrews says. Hebrews says, if they would have looked back, and we're talking about Abraham. Mm. If he would have looked back, he would have went back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I want to talk to you, our VFN radio listener. You've been listening now for a while and your spirit's been stirred. And you're saying, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. Well, guess what? We have a plan and a way for you. I want you to find out more about getting involved in the end time move of God at VFNU.org. That's Vine Fellowship Network University. Well, you're just not going to hear about where the church has been, but you're going to hear about where the church is going. Be a part. Don't sit back. Get in the game. VFNU.org.